And welcome back to New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition. Jeff Chittister with you. I really appreciate that interview with Sue. I also appreciate her carrying more the load of that interview. And as I mentioned, I am feeling a little under the weather. No, I don't have corona. And we'll talk about that during the last segment. No, I don't have that kind of virus. And I actually had to go to the doctor because of the mass hysteria that's going on right now about this. And yes, so I've been certified untainted by this virus. It's just a simple chest cold is all it is. And I'm convinced that Jack gave it to me. But you know, the thing is that when part of your profession requires you to be able to speak and to be able to talk and to have some kind of at least authority or a presence of authority within your speaking style, it gets really difficult to then come on the air and try to retain that. So I appreciate your patience. Yes, I'm going to have to mute every once in a while just to cough, but I appreciate that as well. Good thing is that that cough isn't transferable through the air. At least this fashion anyway. Hey, don't forget, you can find out more about me by going to jeffchittister.com and jeffchittister.com. Catch me at my newspaper article, too. You can do that by picking up the Portsmouth Herald or Foster's, or you can go to seacoastonline.com and seacoastonline.com. So let's talk about my last two articles. I did two articles, and they're the same thing. They're actually one and two-part. I didn't describe them as one and two-part, but I did want to talk about the article. And here's why I want to talk about the article of last week. And so the reason why these last two articles came out, and I've wanted to write them for a while, is because of a conversation I was dragged into. So as most of you know, this is not my sole job. I do other jobs as well. And in my other job, I actually work for a very good company. In my other job, over the past few years, predominantly I work with mostly women, which is a good thing. And I mentioned that in my article, how it has really certainly put me in a different perspective. And that's a good thing when you get that benefit from your work environment. But also, majority of the women that I work with are under the age of 40. So there was a conversation, as you can imagine, there was a conversation going on in our lunchroom. And when I went down to go ahead and make my lunch, I try to be careful and I try to be respectful of conversations, but you know, here we are in a general area. But eventually what ends up happening, and people know I do a radio show, they know I do article. Eventually what happened was the conversation immediately turned to me. I had not said anything, wasn't making any faces or anything. And one of the people said, "Jeff, what is wrong with men today?" So that's a lot to dump on me. I don't speak for all men. I can speak from a perspective of a man. I can speak from a perspective of a man who's had, I have many different kind of men friends in my life and women friends as well. And I've also, you know, I've been paid a large part of my career to be an observer, to watch and kind of formulate a concept of what I see and how I should respond to that. You hear it on the radio show. You see it in my newspaper articles when I was a policeman. That was certainly something that I looked forward. So this question was dumped on me. So, you know, normally my gut is when that type of question is dumped on me is it's fight or flight. And I wanted to fly away. I typically don't answer those kind of questions. But here's the thing. And I know what you're thinking. Jeff, you didn't. Did you answer this question? I did. And here's the reason why is because I had been thinking about it for a long time, long before they ever asked me. I had been thinking about that question for a long time. Jeff, what is wrong with men today? So the first thing is I want to say is that there are difficulties that both men and women are having today. And I think that there's a lot of, and I don't want to overly use the word blame, but there's a lot of cross blaming that can is fair. But when it comes to men, I kind of leaned back on the counter and I kind of thought about it a little bit. And I said, well, you know, here's the thing. The first thing is, and the first thing is, well, who are you dating? And that's a fair question, but I didn't say that. And I said, well, what I noticed today is that a lot of men under a certain age, and I meant under 40, don't seem to live by the same kind of man code, and I used that in last week's article, that I was raised on. And to be very quick about the man code is a very simple code, a real man code. And it's something that has been around generations, thousands of years. You know, when you look at going from boyhood to manhood, there are certain characteristics that have to occur. And the first one is, of course, you know, getting an education, moving through that educational understanding so you have a better concept of the world and interpersonal relationships. The second thing is, you know, building towards a career, to build, you know, something structurally sound that benefits you and other people as well. And the second thing is that how you approach relationships. You know, it was in our design, we hoped, that eventually you would, as a man, enter into a relationship with another person, and from that strength would be brought out. And this man code helps out. And so when I mentioned it, I said, well, you know, I just happen to feel that most men don't live by a man code. And so they asked me what I meant by man code. And I said, look, my parents raised me a certain way, and there were 8 key words that were constant in my development from boyhood to manhood. And they were respect, charity, strength, humility, gratitude, grace, integrity, and service. Now, whether those words were mentioned to me every single day or not wasn't the point. My mom and dad both lived by those words. My dad in particular, and my uncles around me, and there were other people around me who all lived by those words. And what do those words mean? You know, and the first thing I said after I mentioned what the man code was is I said, you need to, when you're in a relationship, use those words if you want, and find out what that person that you're in a relationship with means by those words. What is their definition of those words? Respect, charity, strength, humility, gratitude, grace, integrity, and strength, service. And how do you live? What's your code? What's your individual code? Do you have a code similar to a man code? So that's the first thing I said. And then the second thing I said is that if you looked in the world today, if you used any search engine that you want and searched out man code, what you would get back is what I defined as a very selfish man code. It was all about them. It was being a wingman. It was covering for them. It was stupid things like what happens at the bachelor party doesn't get said beyond the bachelor party. You know, you never go after another guy's girlfriend. It was all things like that. And I was like, okay, these are all kind of, I guess, I don't know, but they're not the man code I was raised with. So clearly to me, it became very obvious that my definition of the man code had completely changed. And it became a more selfish man code. Now, I'm not telling you to be selfish, and I'm not telling you I'm a knight. I'm not telling you I'm a saint either. I have had my times in my life in which I have been selfish. There's no doubt about that. But whenever I've fallen back to the man code, it's important. So that's what the first thing I said is have a man code and have them define that man code. Are you seeing that kind of man code? The other thing is, as I said, no man is going to stay with a person that they don't respect. Respect is really important. And respect is a two-way street of communications to understand each other and what that means. For example, I'll give you a really good example. To suddenly see a man come forth and decide to make a major change in their career field. Now, men and women make major changes in their career field. But it seems that when that happens, fear comes in, doubt comes in. And if you do not respect that person across from you who is declaring to you that it is right, it is time, it is necessary for a career change, major career change, disruption in your relationship, without respect, you don't trust that person to succeed. And do you see where the relationship then starts getting a little bit more defined by the way we look at them today? If you don't respect that person across from you, then there is a problem within your relationship. And it falls back to that. Respect, charity, strength, humility, gratitude, grace, integrity, and service are key. So then the second point I made from them is that I said, well, when you think about this, I mean, what is the problem in relationships? And a couple of them said, well, they want their freedom. Freedom. And I'm like, okay, we're not talking freedom in the liberty sense. We're not talking freedom in the political sense. They're talking individual freedom. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And they couldn't answer it. So I said, you know, when your relationships are moving along, and you feel comfortable that they're now exclusive. And we hope, like I said, that's what we all try to strive for. And that makes us healthier. Trust me, I don't care what a lot of these reports say about our society. It makes us healthy when we're in strong, exclusive relationships. There's a bonding in there that's important. I said, well, have you ever asked the person to define what they mean by freedom? And generally what you get back in today's society is to be able to do anything I want when I want. Really selfish. That bounds you to a different kind of servitude, ladies and gentlemen. And I know I'm speaking to a captive audience right now. To say, to do what I want when I want to do, bounds you to a certain kind of servitude. And I asked the women, I said, well, don't you want to do that too? Well, yeah. And I said, so you, do you understand the conflict you're having in your relationship? Both of you, you're not sure if you respect the other person. You're not sure if we're living by a code. And now you're telling me that you're kind of defining freedom the same way they are. So who's got the problem here? The relationship has the problem. And I'm not giving a relationship. So the second, the third point I was trying to make is that you've got to define what freedom is. And I'm telling you all this right now. You should do this if you've never had this conversation. I can honestly tell you, I don't think I've ever looked at my wife and said, let me tell you what I define freedom as. But we have worked it out. There are things that I am more than willing to give up to be in a healthy relationship. More than willing to. And then there are things that we have to kind of discuss what that means. Now, getting up and just walking out of the house and getting in the car and driving off and doing whatever I want can't be one of those. There has to be a sense of a concrete understanding what that is. But I said to them, I said, you know, if you're dealing with somebody who if you ask them, hey, can you, you know, maybe not date one, maybe date two or date three, look at them and say, you know, do you have a man code? I mean, what is your man code? What drives you? What brings you into this world every single day? And what does the success look like at the end of the day? Do you have a man code? And where'd you get it from? And you're not hearing the words that I've used, and I would be cautious about that. The second thing is, like I said, if you don't respect each other, and respect being one of the primary words in the man code, if you don't respect each other, there's going to be problems. If you don't respect each other, you don't trust each other. And the third thing is this. Is that if you've not asked the freedom question, what does it mean to you? And have them give each other examples, then you're not sure. And I think one of the problems with that is that as we look at some relationships, and I've got to kind of conclude now, and I want you to read my articles. Please read my article from last week and this week, because they go hand in hand. As we just start thinking about freedom, and as we start thinking about what it really means, one of the things that gets missed in that is we have to respect the person so that when they exercise an element of freedom that we're a little cautious about, being an example, a major career change, they suddenly just make that major career change, and then we're frightful. If you respect that person, if you trust that person comes to you and says, this is the time, this is why, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to do, and you say, you know what, I'm frightened, but you know, sometimes being frightened is a good thing, but I respect you enough to let you try it. But if your instinct is, no, you're not going to do that, that can't happen. Now let's just shut up and eat. That is where the definition of freedom starts to get convoluted, isn't it? So read my articles last week and this week. I hope you enjoy them and think about that. And if you have a teenager in your life, if you have a person in your life under the age of 40, male or female, bring that conversation up. Hey, what's your man code? What's your boyfriend's man code? Hey, son, what is your man code? And we can figure this out. We're going to go on break, and we'll come right back on New Hampshire Today, the weekend edition.